myself. I've been here before, but just to reintroduce myself, I'm on the Shoreline team here at Watermark. I'm the men's Shoreline coordinator. I've been here before. I love getting to teach. I love teaching God's word. And but before I get into the word and the message, I want to just address a problem that I have, and I think most of you guys have too. And it's simple as this. I'm tired of having to prove that I'm not a robot, right? And anytime I get on a website, forget my password, I have to prove that I'm not a robot. And it's those like nine squares that you see, and it's like pick the one that has the traffic light on or the ambulance in it. And every time it's obvious, I'm like, okay, that one. And as soon as I'm about to confirm, I see the little sliver of a traffic light in the top right corner. And I'm telling you, it's so small. And I'm like, should I count that or not? I'm calling my wife, hey, Allie, come here. I need an extra set of eyes on this. We get the magnifying glass, the microscope out. We're trying to determine. And so finally I click and I'm like, I think that one counts. And of course I'm a robot. Every time I turn out to be a robot. And I'm just tired of having to prove that I'm not a robot. And as frustrating as it is, I understand the need for it, right? Like we always are asking for proof. Anytime someone makes a bold claim or like, prove it, right? Pixar didn't happen. You got to prove it, man. And we carry that same sentiment into the church, right? When we read our Bible, I know for me, at least, that is true that a lot of times when I'm reading my Bible or at church, I'm just, is this real? How do I know this is a real? Is he even a real person? Did he really die? Or even more so, did he really raise from the dead? And so today, as we finish out our series, Enough is Enough, I just want to say I think there is enough evidence to support the biblical claims. And I only have about 7 minutes up here, and so I'm just going to make a few quick points. But I just want to say I think after just years of studying God's word, I think he's real. I think there's enough evidence. And so I'm just going to share 3 points that have impacted me, and maybe they will impact your faith. And so the first one is, if you're doubting God's real, if you're looking for evidence, I would encourage you to go back and look at the people of faith, the people in the Bible. Let's look at this verse. It's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, and it says, after that. So after what? After Jesus died, after he was buried, after he was raised, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive. So Paul's writing this. At the time, they were mostly alive, and most of them were alive. And Paul's saying, go to the people that are still alive and ask them. Ask them what they saw. Jesus appeared to them. Go ask them. Go hear what they saw. They saw the real living Jesus after he died. The disciples saw him. Over 500 people saw him. And now, look, I know I can be skeptical. I know you can be skeptical. Maybe those people, they just were hallucinating. Maybe they just saw something. And you would think that as they got older, as the disciples and the 500 people got older, that they would begin to kind of rethink what they saw, right? They're like, well, maybe I didn't really see Jesus. Maybe we all just kind of imagined it. Well, the reality is, whatever those people saw, they were willing to die for it. The 12 disciples, after Jesus died, before he rose, in between those 3 days, they were scared. They hid. They denied that they ever were associated with Jesus. And then they saw something 3 days after Jesus died. And then after that, they went from being worried to warriors for Christ. They became leaders of his church. And in fact, the disciples and hundreds more people, thousands of more people since have been willing to die for Christ. Let me just read to you what happened to the disciples. They didn't retire on a beach in Florida. This is what happened. Peter crucified, Andrew crucified, Thomas died, Philip died, Matthew was stabbed, Bartholomew died, Simon killed. You can go on and on. Only one disciple, John, lived to be to die of old age. Only one. And maybe the most convincing for me was Jesus had a brother named James. And raise your hand if you have a sibling. Yeah, I thought most of y'all would have siblings, right? Look, James, for all of Jesus' life, during all of his ministry, there's no record that James ever followed Christ. There's no record in the Gospels that James was following Christ and was one of his followers. And I get that. Look, I have a sister myself, and if my sister came to me And imagine that your sibling coming to you and saying, hey, I'm the next Messiah. If my sister came to me and was like, hey, I'm the next Messiah, I would tell her, no way. You know why? Because I grew up with you. You can't fool me. You may be able to fool all these other people, but I've seen how foolish you are. I've seen how many mistakes you've made. Like, you're my sister. You can't fool me. And so I don't know. I'm just speculating here. But James, I don't think he was convinced when Jesus was alive. But after Jesus died and rose from the dead, his brother James saw something. He saw something that convinced him to become a leader in the church in Jerusalem. And in fact, he saw something so powerful that the Roman soldiers, according to history, tried to tell James. They're like, hey, James, we need you to recant, which means to say, hey, none of this is actually true. We're all just kind of joking. It was just a joke. And so they said, we need you to do that or we're going to kill you. And James, the brother of Jesus, said, I won't recant. And he ended up dying for his own brother. So if you end up doubting, I would encourage you to look back to the people who have said, hey, I believe in this so strongly that I'm willing to die for it. So look back to the people of faith to be encouraged. The second one is prophecies. The Old Testament, written hundreds of years, sometimes thousands of years before Christ even lived, has over 400 prophecies of the Messiah. And obviously, I only have time to even read one of them today. But the accuracy and the amount of prophecies is astonishing. In fact, I think for me, I was like, maybe some of those just could have been a coincidence, right? Like, surely, like, you could just kind of just guess and you'd get a couple of them right. But over 400 with astonishing accuracy, the odds are incalculable how accurate that is. And so you can try to call it a coincidence, but you'd be wrong. The only thing to explain it is a miracle. So I'm just going to read one today. It's my favorite one that you may have heard. And when I read it, I want you to listen closely, and you just ask yourself, like, who is this talking about? And I think there's only one answer. So let's read Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6. It says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You could replace Christ for every he or him, and you'd be right. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was pierced for us. He was crushed for you. He died for me. God laid on him the guilt that I deserved. God laid on him the guilt of us all. That was written hundreds of years before Christ even appeared on the scene. And so, again, whenever you are experiencing doubt, whether that be today, tomorrow, go back, look, be encouraged by the people of the faith in the past. Look back at the prophecies, be encouraged by the amount and astonishing accuracies of God's word. And then lastly, look, here, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I think whenever I'm doubting, especially whenever I was a little younger, I used to always think, man, God, would you just give me a sign? Like, literally, I'd be driving down the highway, and I'd be like, God, if you're real, let the next billboard be a billboard about Jesus, and then I'll believe. I'll be convinced. I need a miracle. It would be so easy to believe in you if you would show me a miracle. And the evidence for Christ is staggering. I could spend hours up here giving you fact after fact, reading Bible verse after Bible verse, quoting history, quoting science, all for the sake of Christ. But that wouldn't often be enough. Because I think what God cares more about is personal transformation, personal heart transformation. He doesn't want more facts or evidence. What he wants is to work a miracle inside you. And so whenever I hear someone like say, I just wish God would show me a miracle, I tell them, God could do that, or you could just look around the room. You could just go to church and look around the room and look at the miracles, the transformations Christ is doing every day in his church through his word, through his spirit. And so let me read 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is one of my favorite Bible verses ever. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new has begun. And so, hey, I would encourage you, if you're one of these people that's saying, if only I had a miracle, look around. Look at the transformations God is doing in the lives around you, in the people around you, the miracles he's working every day. And we can start now. I want to tell you about this friend I had named Nathan. He was my roommate in college, and I ran cross country track in college, and he was my teammate for 4 years. And Nathan, for the entire time in college I knew him, he was a devout atheist. We had conversation after conversation, lunch, meal after meal, where I just would share the gospel with him, and I would just say, Nathan, what's stopping you from believing? And he would say, well, I don't understand how God could let this happen, or if God's real, then how can this, I mean, just question after question, and I would do my best to answer each one as it came. But after every conversation, after every meal, he would say, I just still don't believe. Like, there's not enough evidence. And every time I would tell Nathan, I would say, Nathan, there's never going to be enough evidence. What you need is a personal transformation. You need to just decide, Nathan, is God real or is he not? And so I gave up on Nathan. After hours and hours of having conversations for 4 years, I gave up on him. When I got to Watermark, I even asked Blake Holmes, the pastor here. I was like, when do you give up on someone? Like, I've wasted so much of my time. It feels like I wasted so much of my time just sharing the gospel with him. And then not too long ago, I get a phone call from Nathan, and he says, Will, how do I accept Christ into my heart? And yeah, you can clap. And so, look, I don't know what happened. Well, I asked him, and finally, what happened? And he said, well, I've just, and this, he didn't say word for word like this, but something along the line that he's just had bitterness and anger and resentment in his heart. And he said, when I'm around God's people, there's just something different. And he says, I want to be like that. I want to be more like Christ. And so, man, Nathan, again, he finally just got to the point where he said, hey, there's never going to be enough evidence. I just need to decide. And so, y'all, I only spent 8-10 minutes up here just telling you, encouraging you with the people of the faith, with prophecies, with personal testimonies. And again, I could spend hours and hours just spending up here just trying to back up, trying to do my best to encourage you with God's word and with the evidence supporting it. But if you're having doubts, I don't want you to listen to guys like me, guys on a stage. I want you to go look for yourself, because guys like me, we may make mistakes. In these past 10 minutes, I've probably said something that was inaccurate. So if you're having any doubts about your faith or looking for more evidence, I encourage you, go home, read your Bible. I call it read the words in red. A lot of times Bibles, they have Jesus' words written in red. Read the words in red. His words won't fail you. They bring more joy, less scars. So don't listen to me. Go look for yourself. So let me pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the miracles that you work in our lives. And I know that there is just so much evidence for your word, but at the end of the day, there's never going to be enough evidence to convince our just sinful, broken hearts. And so I know what can change us is your spirit, God. So I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you just fill our hearts with faith and courage just to continue to believe in you, God. So we love you. I love you. I thank you for your word and your people and your church. In your son's name I pray. Amen.